chapter 17, appetite. Many are made sick by the indulgence of their appetite. They eat what suits their perverted taste, thus weakening the digestive organs and injuring their power to assimilate the food that is to sustain life. Thus the delicate machinery is worn out by the suicidal practices of those who ought to know better. Sin indeed lies at the door. The door is the mouth. The declension in virtue and the degeneracy of the race is chiefly attributable to the indulgence of perverted appetite. If the appetite is allowed to rule, the mind will be brought under its control. One of the strongest temptations that man has to meet is upon the point of appetite. As our first parents lost Eden through the indulgence of appetite, our only hope of regaining Eden is through the firm denial of appetite and passion. The controlling power of appetite will prove the ruin of thousands, when if they had conquered on this point, then they would have had the moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation of Satan. But those who are slaves to appetite will fail in perfecting Christian character. As we near the close of time, Satan's temptation to indulge appetite will be more powerful and more difficult to overcome. Satan sees that he cannot have such a controlling power over us as he could if appetite were indulged. Our habits of eating and drinking show whether we are of the world or among the number that the Lord, by His mighty cleavage of truth, has separated from the world. Christ began this work of redemption by reforming the physical habits of man. In order for us to enjoy the natural appetite, which will preserve health and prolong life, God restricts the appetite. He says, "Beware, restrain, deny a natural appetite. In its natural state, the taste might indicate in a great degree the food best adapted to the wants of the system. This, the taste might be corrected if the appetite had never been perverted. There is a natural and there is a depraved appetite."